don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Year graduation, right? This is the 2021 full-time, first-time in college cohort. We improved to 54.7%, and this is the highest four-year graduation rate we have had to date.
55% four-year graduation at UWF. This is Provost Jeremy Kuhl speaking to the Board of Trustees meeting and talking about some of the metrics. He went through most of them. I'm just giving you some of the highlights that I think you should be particularly excited about or proud of. And, you know, I always think, like, I have one student who graduated from there, my oldest. Middle's going there now, and our youngest is probably going to stay at PSC. They all went to PSC. Two very good schools, by the way. But seriously, the numbers justify the belief that UWF is a great school.
The three-year graduation rate for our students with an AA coming from a school in the Florida college system, we hit a 64.1%, and that is our highest graduation rate to date.
64% if you come with an AA degree from a two-year institution like PSC.
Same for our Pell students. The six-year graduation rate for Pell students, 58.8%, that is our highest graduation rate to date.
That's fantastic. Nursing students, which is one of the key programs at both schools, obviously, but also, you know, UWF does a very good job at this.
And one is the nursing NCLEX first-time pass rates, KPI 5. And it currently stands, well, for this past year, it stands at 94%, exceeding both the Florida and national averages.
Nice.
Additionally, the percentage of students annually with no loans, that's KPI 4, increased from 76 to 79%.
That is one of the most amazing numbers. Just think of how many news stories have been done, or if you are sort of from somewhere else and not from Florida, or your kids went to school somewhere else, how many kids who go to college in other places can say that they graduate with no student debt? I mean, certainly not 80% almost, but 70, because, you know, Florida has very low tuition. In fact, we learned from Ben Watkins, who did his performance review. I'll talk about that next hour. But Florida is the cheapest, well, lowest price. I mean, it's not cheap. It's cheap in terms of price, but it's not cheap in terms of quality, right? And that's why that word has two meanings. But it is the lowest price college education in the entire country, Florida. And oh, by the way, the best college education in the entire country. How can both be true? They are. There's actually a very simple explanation for it. You want the short version? Florida does a weird thing. We use metrics to evaluate our universities and colleges. We have poured all kinds of funding into making sure that tuition is kept low. And then we tie funding to performance, and we reward schools that hit the metrics that we use to evaluate excellence, which we then can turn into being rated the highest school system, university system in the nation. It's a weird thing, you know. If you pay people to do well, then they will do well. And the universities, it's just not been willing to be done anywhere else. Not at all to the degree that we do it here. So why does it work? Well, that's part of why. But it's important. And again, it does that because we keep tuition down. And so people are able to graduate with a first-rate degree and no debt, which is an amazing thing to think about as a society. Now, Manny Diaz wanted to point out that though we've done great on these metrics so far, keep in mind next year this changes.
When you go next year to the 2.0, all 12 institutions are going to drop to a new level, because what the idea of this thing is having been on the bog, is to have the system chase excellence. You push and push and push. But when everybody starts to hit tens on every metric, the bog says it's time to change the metrics or to increase the metrics, because then we're just patting ourselves on the back and there's still no growth. This is what it's allowed the state system to be the number one university higher ed system in the country now since for a decade.
We're changing the metrics next year for all of the universities. We're all too good at hitting them is the problem. The numbers are too high. So we're going to change the metrics. Everybody's going to drop down. Everybody's going to look like catastrophe hit. He's just warning you in advance. Don't be surprised when these numbers look bad. They're supposed to look bad because we're changing the scale so that now we can push and push and push and become even better.
And one is the nurse.
Oh, sorry.
This is going to be a new chase. So everybody has to understand that this peak that we hit this year, there's going to be a new set of metrics and the number is going to look different. So it's going to be harder to judge where we are, or where we, you know, it's about where we go in the next 3 years, right, on that 2.0. So I just wanted to make sure we have clarity, say it publicly, because I don't want anybody to have confusion is, you know, the score now and what you may see on the metric next year, which there's going to be some differences for everybody.
So keep that in mind when the scores are different next year. But this is all very, very good news. We've been so good, we have to change the scale so that we can do even better. 6:15 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What does Brother Andrew have to say about Anne Hathaway's body inclusivity and the Supreme Court opinion? Find out next in the Transgressors Memorial Service. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. The front gate of NAS Pensacola backed up to Interbay. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
If your bathroom feels cramped, outdated, or hard to use, it's time for an upgrade. At Home Outlet, our stores are employee-owned by experts who help you create a bathroom that works for your space and your budget. From vanities with real storage to tubs, fixtures, and tile, we help you get the bathroom upgrade you deserve without overspending. You'll also find expert help for kitchens, flooring, and more. Home Outlet, bathrooms for everyone. Find your local Home Outlet online at homeoutlet.com.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
As a business owner, you want less to worry about. You want proven, simple concepts and tools that just do what they said they will do, and proof that those tools work. Well, that's ADX Digital. Simple digital concepts that move the needle for your business. Reporting that proves the results and market-leading customer service. And that's what we do.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com. Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC, Registered Advisors.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the United States Supreme Court, and specifically for Samuel Alito, who wrote the atrociously misguided opinion in Louisiana versus Calais, which has gutted the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and may lead to a dramatic loss of Democrat seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. As many of you know, about a third of Louisiana is African American, which would make you think they would secure two of the six seats in the House. Unfortunately, these black Cajuns have made the mistake of living all over the state in and among the whites instead of segregating themselves into nice, simple, compact areas that would allow for them to have two congressional districts drawn neatly around them. Therefore, in order to get two representatives, the Louisiana legislature had to draw a completely crazy, tortured pair of districts that make no sense to anyone, except that they accomplished the goal of a racial gerrymander in favor of black voters. Well, the Supreme Court struck this down, basically by upholding the 15th Amendment, and now all because these black Democrats dared to live in and among all the white people of Louisiana, failing to geographically coalesce their voting power, they will only have one or possibly zero districts when all is said and done. If they would have just stayed with their own, all of this would have been solved. Stupid desegregation. But the real problem is that this ruling makes it very hard to use race in drawing district by forcing states to make race-blind maps. Now, some of you might mistakenly think that a post-racial or colorblind society is exactly what we've been dreaming of. But you clearly haven't yet entered your 300-level training in woke principles. Yes, we like to say we are against racism, but it is absolutely vital that we keep using the tool of racial resentment and hostility to foster the social division and conflict with our candidates that they depend on for getting elected. Do you even realize just how much our programs depend on black people and white people not getting along? When 60 years of policies aimed at reducing racial division seem to only produce as much racial division as ever, perhaps you're finally realizing that racial division isn't some uncomfortable byproduct of our policies, but their intended purpose. So the reason we keep talking about race is because we need race as a motivating element in our politics. We must have racism to pretend to fight against it, which means we must always amplify the fear of racial disparity so we can justify policies that claim to fight the racism they depend on. It's like we all work for the SPLC. So even though this ruling technically expands the Voting Rights Act by finally validating the fact that maps may use race to fix past intentional racial oppression, it's very important publicly to talk about the ruling as if the court has attacked the Voting Rights Act. We need to use words like gutted, struck down, limited, eviscerated, or otherwise destroyed to amplify the emotion of our upside-down claim. The good news is that our allies in the traditional media have already been doing this for us since the ruling came out, all on their own. They've learned so well. The counterfactual race-based anger they're stirring up will do wonders for us in the November midterm elections. Now, I know, dear other, and you might hear someone say, but I thought we were trying to achieve a future in which people are judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin, referencing the famous quote by Martin Luther King Jr. No, this is exactly backwards. We literally want people judged by the color of their skin and not by the content of their character, since judging people by the content of their character is ableist, judgmental, and exclusivist. In other words, code for white supremacy culture. You see, when Dr. King used the phrase content of their character, he did so as a Baptist preacher who believed in Christian morality. As you well know, we do not believe in the traditional Christian values of faith in the God of the Bible, waiting until marriage to have sex, charity, humility, generosity, self-reliance, delayed gratification, and the Protestant work ethic. Besides, the ideas of merit, along with hard work, devotion, skill development, and natural aptitude, are not our virtues at all, because we think all people are equal. Not like made in the image of God equal, but deserving the same government-mandated slice of the pie, given to them on a totally merit-free basis. Dr. King wanted a world where people could work and produce and earn and save and be treated accordingly. In other words, he wanted ableism. And you all know we hate ableism. To each according to his needs, not according to his merit. So no, not only does this ruling make it even harder for us to have power through racial manipulation, it actually brings us closer to a future in which race doesn't matter, which we say we want, but secretly we dread. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Kaukab Shirani, a reporter at Deutsche Welle, the national German news service, for publishing a report entitled Burnout from Casual Sex Has Women Rethinking Hookup Culture. In the article, Shirani explains the results of a study in which women reported feeling disappointed with themselves after essentially using Tinder. One woman said she felt empty, sad, and temporarily empowered, but always craving more. She felt like she had to cut off a part of herself emotionally during and after one-night stands. As Shirani reported, this phenomenon is called post-coital dysphoria, PCD, and women suffering it say they desire easy sex but then feel used, depressed, unfulfilled, and emotionally numb afterwards. Men, of course, also sometimes experience PCD, but they seem to get over it much faster for whatever reason. I just don't know where to start with these reports. First, what a great world we live in where men and women can finally engage in the unencumbered free sex that we could only dream of in the 60s. Between contraception, pharmaceutical abortion, the internet and hookup apps, and an entertainment culture that never shows happily married people, the anti-marriage society has arrived. We have completely overcome the traditional model of waiting until marriage for sex, and then having sex only inside the confines of lifelong commitment and for the purpose of having children. The sexual revolution is complete, but these women don't seem to be grateful at all for the liberation we've given them. I mean, it's certainly not the case that something deep inside every woman yearns for a permanent and safe relationship of unconditional love and trust with a husband who echoes the security of being loved completely by her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's ridiculous. In fact, women must overcome the primitive belief in monogamy and its unenlightened notions of security, commitment, and devotion, which some fools believe actually do the most to protect women from the sort of society ours has become, we've finally gotten to where women can be as selfish and depraved as men, and now the only thing left for them to do is just do it and lie to themselves afterwards that they enjoy it. If you can be just like men, then you can finally be women. So my advice to these women who claim to be suffering from PCD is simple. Woman up. Push through it. Get out there and throw yourself around so much that you can only guesstimate your body count. Only then, in the fully transcendent euphoria of utter debauchery, will things like a guilty conscience, personal unfulfillment, and regret at the ruination of your intended design leave you so that you can finally be a modern, independent, and liberated woman. Miserable? Sure. But if we learned anything from Sex and the City, it's that misery loves the company of friends who are just as miserable as you are. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our highest praise this week and the official djembe drum of justice with two rainbow streamers goes to actor Anne Hathaway for her outstanding efforts at body positivity and inclusivity in cinema during the filming of The Devil Wears Prada 2. As a note, I know some of you are still in the habit of calling female actors by the now outdated term actresses, since we did originally fight to have this separate designation in order to affirm females by making them different from men, but now in our most recent gender-free world, we have advanced backwards to calling all actors actors in an effort to affirm females by making them the same as men. I know it's hard to keep up, but you can do it. Portable diagrams of this reasoning process are available in the back, if you need them. Regardless, on the set of Prada 2, Anne Hathaway realized the fashion models being used as extras in one scene were all very thin, as is normal in the actual fashion industry. Upset by this overwhelming sense of realism, she suggested the producers that they replace these thin models with other, fluffier people who would look, you know, less like actual models.
That I thought the scene would be so much more enjoyable for the audience if we had a wider range of bodies on display, because all different shapes are beautiful.
So many good notes here. Obviously, audiences really will enjoy looking at models who aren't as pleasant to look at, just not in the normal way people enjoy things they look at. Obviously, it will feel fake compared to the modeling world's actual practices, and also because, well, the plus-size, double-size, pear-shaped, or whatever alternative bodies are used will be less appealing to their eyes. But their dislike of the less model-like models will be replaced by the steady, smooth, relaxed pleasure of knowing they're supporting a virtue signal level 4. Their eyes may tell them the scene is uglier, but anti-reality training will kick in and provide the warmth that comes only from practicing double-plus ungood truth-speak. Now, it's true that some cretins have suggested that if Anne Hathaway were truly serious about changing the level of representation for beauty-challenged models, she could have encouraged the producers to find a less pretty actor than Anne Hathaway to perform the role. But obviously, the reason the super thin and sexy Anne Hathaway can't be replaced is because you can only do so much at one time. And even though it might seem hypocritical to enjoy a career built largely on having a sex symbol, well, keep in mind that we never object to hypocrisy as long as it's being used to advance our agenda. It does raise another issue for us, though. As good as it is for Anne Hathaway to fire people who worked hard for a long time to craft their bodies into something the fashion industry rewarded and replace them with people who did not, we call that being inclusive, we see an even greater opportunity to advance the cause of equality and fight against the forces of ableism in the acting world. You see, in addition to being smoking hot, Anne Hathaway is also a highly skilled actor, talented at drama and comedy. But shouldn't we be working toward a world where people born with less acting talent can be just as successful at acting? A world where people who can't memorize lines, can't deliver them, don't emote well, have trouble pretending to be what they are not, or simply aren't funny or dramatic, can be actors too. Why should people who relate to audiences and make compelling theater get all the jobs? Or any of the jobs? Aren't people who can't act, whether they were born bad at it or never developed their talents, people who never worked at their craft at all, aren't they just as entitled to starring roles too? So although Anne Hathaway has made a good first step, we slap enthusiastically on our djembe drum in anticipation of a world where movies feature overweight models, homely leading ladies, badly written scripts, poorly lit stages, and terribly edited scenes filled with people who can't act, like The Real Housewives or Saturday Night Live. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who
abandon! And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal, and go forth and transgress no more.
Amen, Brother Andrew. 6:29 here on News Radio 92.3. PJ is in for John Pickens today with traffic on the fives.
No problems or delays to report. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. David Wayne is in the newsroom with their headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The Trump administration is urging other countries to form a coalition with the U.S. to help reopen the Strait of Hormuz. An internal State Department message sent to U.S. diplomats around the world this week said the coalition would help with safe transit through the waterway south of Iran. It called on diplomats to ask for partner participation by today. A candidate for the Oklahoma State Senate has been found dead. Barry Christian was a candidate for Oklahoma Senate District 38. Yesterday, he was found dead in a wilderness area in western Oklahoma. He'd been missing since Tuesday. He was apparently found in a truck that had crashed into a ravine. And Jeffrey Epstein's former cellmate is saying that he found a suicide note written by Epstein. Nicholas Tartaglione told the New York Times that he'd found a note in the cell he shared with Epstein that said, "Time to say goodbye."
After all this time, we said, yeah, okay. But does anybody really believe anything else? All right. I suppose there are some theories about missing video, contradictory statements, and inconceivable developments, but, you know, people will believe what they believe, right? All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 6:29 here on, 6:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Okay.
Gianna Gelosi, today is day 60 of the war with Iran and the deadline for the president to either seek authorization from Congress to continue or wind down operations. But Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth told the Senate...
Of course, that concert is contingent on Kela making that cut into the top three on Monday's show. And if that happens, the concert will be held behind Maritime Park at the Hunter Amphitheater on Wednesday. Two people were shot at Forest Creek Apartments in the Warrington area last night. Deputies say they responded to that call at about 6:15 on Thursday following reports of a large fight that preceded the gunfire. One man was shot in the leg, a woman was shot in the hip. Both injuries, not life-threatening. The suspect has not been identified at this time. An investigation into that incident is ongoing. Escambia County is now deploying more than 380 tons of concrete from the old Pensacola Bay Fishing Bridge to create a new artificial reef. 46 pieces of concrete from the bridge, which was damaged during Hurricane Sally, have been placed 5 nautical miles southeast of Pensacola Pass. County officials say the complex shapes of the concrete provide excellent habitat for snapper, grouper, and triggerfish, and will also serve as a spawning site for Gulf flounder. That site's also open for divers to explore. Well, Mayor Reeves is getting reports from city customers about property abuse. Chris Bryan with this report. He says it's a bad situation.
Mayor Reeves says the city is receiving complaints from residents about damage to right-of-way property, water lines, communication lines, and landscaping. AT&T and T-Mobile are installing fiber optic lines on city right-of-way property. Channel 3 reports that the mayor has orchestrated a letter outlining the residential complaints and calls the ongoing impacts of the work totally unacceptable. Chris Bryan, News Radio, 92.3.
President Trump will be in Florida today to discuss his policy initiatives. Florida Republican Party says the president will be visiting the villages to deliver a speech at the charter school in Sumter County. He is expected to focus on key parts of his economic agenda, including no taxes on tips and Social Security. After that, the president heading to South Florida for an event in Palm Beach County, and then he'll spend the weekend at Mar-a-Lago. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. PJ's got our traffic on the fives.
Traffic's brought to you by Progressive Commercial Insurance. Earn personalized savings on commercial truck insurance with Smart Haul from Progressive. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. I-10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre, that is flowing smooth. Not showing any delays on Pine Forest. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you, PJ. 68 with cloudy skies, and let's get a look at our forecast from Marion Caldwell.
Rain continues to round out the work in school week. Expect that to become more widespread as the day goes on. Temperatures will be on the cooler side today, only topping out in the upper 60s and low 70s. Rain lingers into Saturday morning, but the better part of the weekend does look dry. I'm meteorologist Marian Caldwell with your WEAR First Morning Weather Forecast.
68 degrees, your next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your Money Now. Shares of AstraZeneca turned lower this morning after U.S. regulatory advisors voted against approving its experimental cancer drug. An advisory panel for the FDA voted 6-3 against AstraZeneca's oral drug intended for the treatment of a type of breast cancer tumor, citing concerns around trial design. The number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits tumbled to their lowest level in more than 50 years last week, despite a number of economic headwinds, including the Iran war. The Labor Department reports jobless aid applications for the week ending April 25th fell by 26,000 to 189,000 total. Treasury yields were unchanged this morning as investors digested a week of key economic data and policy releases. The yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note was unchanged at 4.39%. Futures are mixed on the first trading day of the month. Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 790. The NASDAQ up 219. The S&P 500 up 73. That's your Money Now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you.
On your phone, on your computer,
wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes.
What is your favorite opinion you've ever written?
I have no idea.
You know, I don't keep, I honestly don't want to be glib, but one of the things I decided early on is never to keep score, never to keep trophies. I don't count the number of opinions. I don't count the number of years I'm on the court or anything like that. I think you just do your job. You get up every day, you do it, and you leave it there.
I love this. This was in the Q&A portion of the speech that Clarence Thomas gave at UT Austin. Remember, I walked you through that speech and all the great elements of what was in that speech last week, I think it was. But I wanted to play for you some of the Q&A because I thought it was so revealing. Remember, this is the speech that the regular media generally described as being a horrible, terrible, unjustified attack on liberals and Democrats and progressives. And that was definitely a portion of the speech. Warranted, in my opinion, and historically accurate. But that was certainly not the bulk of the speech. So much of it was about other things, including the values of the Declaration of Independence and the importance of understanding those values and a commitment to them and a willingness to sacrifice for them. And then in the Q&A, you got some interesting stuff like, hey, what's your favorite opinion? Oh, I have no idea. I write so many. You don't remember at my age.
I think that the most dangerous opinions are the ones that people seem to have the least interest in. And just remember, Plessy was not considered an important opinion. You won't find any contemporaneous law review articles or anything on it. And look at the damage that it's done.
Yeah, that's a great point. Sometimes it's, or often, it's not the big blockbuster opinion. It's the little one that people don't pay attention to that carries a doctrine that then gets manipulated or abused or pushed into another domain. I think of like Griswold versus Connecticut that almost nobody has heard of outside of the, you know, real activist pro-life environment. 1965, the ruling that you couldn't have a law prohibiting contraception for married people, that was the entire basis of Roe v. Wade 8 years later. And, you know, yes, it was a big issue at the time, but, you know, the privacy penumbra got, I mean, that got turned into gay marriage, that got turned into everything. And it was just this, you know, little old opinion about contraception in 1965. In marriage, by the way. Amazing.
And any judge can tell you that any number of unimportant opinions sit there in our reports like a loaded gun. And somebody finds it and they use it on something really important.
Yeah, they know the power and the danger and therefore, you know, the risk if people do discover these things. Not that they know which ones are dangerous, but you like... That's the problem. You try your best to make sure that can't happen, but you know it does.
So I don't know how many opinions I've written, but if I were forced to choose opinions, the category I would choose would be the ones that nobody's interested in, like Ford Motor Credit or something like that. The time value of money. You can't do much damage with that.
And then I thought it was particularly interesting to hear some of the why he is who he is, what made him this way, because I think this is all part and parcel of the values that he has and why the Declaration was so important to him. And remember, part of this speech was that as an African-American, as a black man growing up in Georgia, in the South, under segregation, that still believing deeply in what this country stands for and explaining that to people who think, well, you know, how could I possibly, or who people today, when, you know, racism is much less bad than it has been historically. Nevertheless, people seem to be more consumed with how awful it is and how awful it used to be and don't as much love the country as they used to.
What experiences in your early life most shaped your judicial philosophy and how do they continue to influence your decisions today?
You know, I've thought about this because people like to think that it's some high-minded thing. It's actually working with my grandfather. If you plow, everything mattered. He would say, send me on the tractor with water and fuel and to go back to a remote field. And he said, that row better be straight or he'd make you do it over. And so you get everything that, and you can apply the exact same things to opinions. And I think
sometimes as parents or grandparents raising kids, it's not the big stuff we think is going to shape them. It's a lot of the little things we do.
But just the whole idea of dealing with that, of thinking through that he's so careful that this is important. But I think that way about opinion. If it's worth it to our country, it's worth doing it right. Every little thing, you skip steps, you cause problems, you make a mistake. You've got to, we owe it to these people, to this country, to get these things right.
Because they do matter to the individual plaintiffs, but also to the broader nation, to have these things clear and done properly and not recklessly or foolishly.
You know, I think my grandfather, because he said a job worth doing is worth doing right, and he would hold your feet to the fire. If you are around poor people, if you say there are little things that if you don't tell the truth about it, it costs you everything. You don't close up the chicken coop. You don't have chickens. You don't close the gate. Your cow gets out. The cow's dead. Your hogs get out. Every little thing can be the end of you for that year. You don't plant corn right. You don't fertilize the corn. You don't plow it right. You destroy your food for the winter. And that's the way I try to do the job of the people, the way I would do it for my grandfather, honestly, thoroughly, and according to the proper processes.
Now you see why I wanted you to hear this, because, first of all, we always encounter the Supreme Court justices as, I don't know, this artificial slice of who they are, and they get judged and derided on the basis of what you think their rulings represent. I mean, I still can't believe that people were putting out pictures of the Supreme Court in their black robes, six of them wearing white KKK hats, including a woman and a black man. It's just an unbelievable level of contempt. And yet they're real people who are thoughtful and funny and interesting, including the liberals. They really are. And that's why part of I wanted to cover this is you kind of hear that and learn from it. I will get back to this in just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. Highway 29 is accident-free. Highway 90, clear from Milton to Pace. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you're looking at that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality, almost new but not quite new, used cars. Cars that are a year to 3 or 4 years young, maybe 10 to 40,000 miles. That's sort of their sweet spot. Cars they warranty to 100,000 miles or 10 years. All included, not extra charge. Okay, that's just part of the service because they want to show to you that we're only selling you good quality cars. That's why partly Dave Ramsey recommends them. That's why in part I recommend them. I mean, I also became a customer several years ago. We found a car there that we were just trying to test drive to make sure that when time came to buy the car, we knew what we wanted so then we could look for the right trim, color, and price and all that and mileage. Well, they happened to have a Honda Odyssey that was the color we wanted, the exact trim package we wanted, with low miles. It was only a year old. It had like 12 or 13,000 miles. Just come back off of a lease that didn't sell when it came in. Pre-owned Honda certified out of Orlando, and they bought it. And we're like, well, that is a pretty good deal. They came down a little bit on the price, and we just bought it. It was super easy. And that's my experience of Frontier Motors. People are great. Selection's great. The prices are great. The warranty is great. Just like, and they want you to come back. So they treat you like a person that's going to come back again, as in like a neighbor, like a, you know, a colleague, somebody who's, you know, part of the community. Frontier Motors serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right. Back to the interview kind of after the speech with Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. And, you know, some of these questions are better than others, but they were all fascinating to me in what they revealed. This is a particular, he doesn't mean it this way, but this is a particularly insulting question because of what it takes for granted.
Has there ever been a ruling you gave that you personally disagreed with, but you disregarded your personal disagreement because you believed it was required or upheld by the Constitution?
I mean, really what that question is asking is, you know, have you ever actually done your job? Because the job of a judge, of a justice, is to put aside their personal views, biases, preferences as what if they were a legislator, what they would do, and to instead apply the law as the law is written. That's literally what it means to put on, or actually metaphorically what it means to put on the black robe, is to become not you, not a person, but instead a representative of this disembodied thing that has been the product of, you know, democracy and representative elections. So what he's asking is, have you ever ruled against what you would prefer to be true? The answer to that question is, yes, all the time, idiot. They do that all the time. All of them do it. Okay, but he doesn't answer that way, which is probably how I would have answered it.
I think if you ask most judges, we operate within the sphere of our authority. And as federal judges, of course, that's Article 3. And we do not draft the laws. We may not like them. We may not, as a policy matter, and if we were legislators, we might not even vote for them. But we take what is given and we apply that. It doesn't mean you do it with glee. I don't think any judge does hard work. It's really, you know, look at my pictures when I first arrived at the court and look what it's done to me. There isn't a single judge I know who does hard things because they get joy out of it. They do hard things because they signed up to do hard things. And they may not agree with it, and it may be difficult. They may think it's not a great law, but their job as Article III judges is to enforce the law, to interpret it and to apply it to that particular case.
I mean, that's literally the job. And he's right that that's what they sign up for. And it's not easy. It's not easy. I mean, imagine trying to be an umpire in a game where your team isn't doing great. You'd be so tempted to shade the calls to help them. It'd be so hard to call somebody out. I'm a big Cardinals fan. You know, it'd be so hard to call one of our players out at the plate on a close play when they were out on the, at the plate on a close play. It'd be hard to do. That's what judges do all the time. And they care much more about these issues than they do about you liking a sports team. But they have to put that aside. That's literally the job, is to put that aside.
When I first became a judge, Judge Larry Silverman, who's unfortunately passed away, said, ask yourself before each case, what is my role in this case as a judge? Notice how that limits you. Not as a person, not as a Catholic, not as a policymaker, not as a husband, as a judge. And that is early on that required more discipline.
That's a great question. What's my role here? How is that role limited? See, one of the things I think is when people make the criticism that all these judges do is legislate their own opinions, I think that says a lot more about the person making the claim than it says about the judges. Oh, it's true that some do, some more, some less. But generally speaking, judges do quite good work, generally speaking. But some people know that they would not do it that way. If they had the power, they would abuse it and advance their personal positions. In fact, they might even think that's a virtue. How dare you do anything other than that? And so when they're criticizing justices for ruling, you know, the way they would want to rule, what they're really saying is that's what I would do. And maybe they think that's a good thing. Maybe they think that's terrible because they're on the other side, but they can't see the possibility of just being a good umpire, which is honestly what most judges, I have listened to so many oral arguments. I've read so many Supreme Court opinions. And I myself do not consider myself an expert on constitutional law at all. Okay. I mean, I'm a layman. I wouldn't presume to teach it. I certainly wouldn't be prepared to go in the Supreme Court and litigate. As a layman, I think I know about as much as anybody knows. And I'm telling you that the judges, even the bad ones, are actually trying to do what they think the law says.
We had the Haitian refugee cases, and that's when they were sending the Haitians, diverting them, first President Bush and then President Clinton, to Guantanamo Bay. Which was a military base. Most people think it's some kind of a camp now, but it was a military base then. And they were diverting there for certain constitutional reasons, not bringing them to our country. I, in my heart, bled for the Haitians. It broke my heart. And I remember speaking with Chief, I was brand new, I spoke with Chief Justice Rehnquist, and he said, you have to do your job. And he was really good about it. I said, this is really hard, but it was that moment where you learn this is what the limit is on my authority. This is my role, and I have to accept it. But that was early on a very, very difficult case. I don't think anyone could look at people in those circumstances and as a human being not feel badly about it. But our job is to, as a clerk said about one of my colleagues, that he should man up. Our job is to man up and do our jobs.
Hey, I won't ask who that clerk was. Okay. I'd say it's off the record, but there's 1,000 people.
Oh, no, nothing's off the record.
We'll talk afterwards. All right,
lose control of it as soon as you utter it.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I love hearing that story because it's a slice of Clarence Thomas and by inference all the other justices that you don't normally get to hear, you know, as opposed to being these heartless, cold, don't care, and always do what they want to do people. They are very sincere, emotional humans with religious values who care deeply about the things they rule on and still force themselves to rule on the basis of the law, even while, as he said, his heart is breaking as a result of the decision he's making. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3, PJ has traffic on the fives.
Service brought to you by Home Outlet. Home Outlet in Pensacola, where you'll find flooring for every budget and big savings on your next home project. I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. 9 miles accident-free and not showing any delays in Car City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you've got a business, you've got employees, you've got to do health benefits, insurance, dental, vision, life, disability. You know, you got to manage payroll. You got to deal with HR. All the fun stuff about being in business, right? Like, no, this is stuff that nobody enjoys. Well, I take that back. There are some people who enjoy it, and they go into that business. That's Torgerson Consulting. They like doing this. They're the nerds who enjoy the stuff that you despise and that bothers you and vexes you and stresses you out. And while I'm talking about it, you're like, I don't want to hear about it. Okay, but they like it, and they're very good at it. For 5 years, since 2021, Cat Country and News Radio, we have been using them here, and they've been great. Now, they're not miracle workers. You know, the marketplace is what it is, terrible. But they go out and find the best available among the terrible. They give us choices within that, and then we can decide how we want to operate. And they're great at customer service. When we have questions, they have answers. They always are responsive on this. And we've just had a really good relationship with that. Like, I didn't know it could be this good when we had done it with other folks before. Locally owned for more than 20 years, helping businesses like yours. No obligation to have them look over what you're doing and see if there's a way to do it cheaper, better, or both. 433-9996 or online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks, rent a kayak or a paddle boat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center, or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers, tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at Play P. Cola Parks. It's time to get out and play.
Hey, all the way. Hey, all the way. The Pensacola Navy Days 4K, presented by Baptist Healthcare, is Saturday, May 9th. This fun run starts at Plaza de Luna, runs up Palafox along Bayfront to Veterans Park, and back to Plaza de Luna. Registrants receive a commemorative Pensacola Navy Days medal and race shirt. You can run or walk, and when you return to Plaza de Luna, you can celebrate with a beverage and stick around for the Family Fun Fest. Register now at PensacolaNavyDays.org. That's PensacolaNavyDays.org.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
What have you done? Finished it.
Good morning, 6:59, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, Saudi investors are pulling out of LIV Golf. Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund announced on Thursday that its funding for the Men's Golf League will be ending after the 2026 season.
Weren't they like the founders of it?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay,
at
all right.
At least the major investors
yeah,
in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the CDC is reporting, Andrew, that the number of tick bite emergency room visits is the highest it's been since 2017.
Oh, man. Other than during termite swarms, ticks are the worst. Which, by the way, termite swarms are crazy. Oh, my goodness. Crazy last night.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.